you. God bless you. I want to sing one song before I share with you. This song says, I can't miss heaven. So I want you to turn to somebody and tell them, don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. There are still surprises ahead. So just don't miss heaven. If you have to miss anything on this world, you don't miss heaven. There's something more in heaven. So this song, my wife wrote this song as we were going through some hard time. And so all that we could do was to encourage ourselves to do the work of God, to suffer in doing it, but not to miss heaven. So it's a simple song. I just want to... I can't miss heaven. Oh yes, I can't miss heaven. Really, I can't miss heaven. I have a mansion. I can't miss heaven. Oh yes, I can't miss heaven. Really, I can't miss heaven. I have a mansion. Oh yes, heaven is my home. I can't miss heaven. Heaven is my home. I have a mansion. I'm moving with Jesus Christ day and night, preaching, teaching, healing the sick everywhere. I'm moving with Jesus Christ day and night, preaching, teaching, healing the sick everywhere. Oh yes, heaven is my home. I can't miss heaven. Heaven is my home. I have a mansion. Oh yes, heaven is my home. I can't miss heaven. Heaven is my home. I have a mansion. I'm moving with Jesus Christ day and night, preaching, teaching, healing the sick everywhere. Oh yes, heaven is my home. I can't miss heaven. Heaven is my home. I have a mansion. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm so excited to be here. So excited. As I tell you, honestly, this is my home church. And that is why I just want to preach like I'm home. Just like my brother Jonah said, we take offense in very little things. In this world, we take offense even the way somebody dresses. We take offense of who did not talk to you. You take an offense of how long the traffic light takes. All right? And the Bible says the offenses will come. They will come. You even to look for food makes you be offended that you have to go and do your grocery, you know? All right. So the offenses are there. But one of the reasons why there's been church decline, attendance everywhere in the world, just like you are talking, is of this. I think this is me. I am not the one to make the line, but one of the things I think is people look for a sense of belonging. People want to belong. If we can make people belong, I was trying to think of what I should put on when I'm coming here because I didn't know whether you want me to dress in tie, in a suit, or just casual. I used to dress so much in Nairobi in suits, but when I went to Rakai, I went to the field, I dressed more in jeans and, you know, just those crazy, you know, because, like, people want to belong. The reason why the church can't win us is that you must become like this, and believe like this, And then you belong here. So if you don't believe like this, if you don't become like this, then you don't belong. So church, let us let people first belong. Let them belong. Let them come the way they are. And let them, as they feel belonging, they will believe. And then they will become. Simple. Let's let them come. Jesus said, come to me the way you are. If people will feel belong to this church, they will believe what you believe. And they will become what you want them. But you know what? We go out preaching the gospel. We want people to become. Become like Jesus. This church, we sing like this. This is not how it should be. So somebody says, I'm not going to attend the church because I don't belong there. And even us, we church people say, he doesn't pray like us. He doesn't belong here. Isn't it? So first, let everybody belong. Let us know we are all children of God. And let us believe and we will become. There are people struggling to become. I had another friend. He stopped. He was doing drugs and then he got born again. But he still struggles with some of the past issues. And every church he used to go to, he didn't feel he belonged. Then I told him, you know what? The Bible says, let's come reason together. I know you're struggling with it. Go deal with it with God. Come every Sunday and make sure you belong here and make sure you deal with it with God. After 2 years, that man got out of drugs. He's a beautiful pastor right now. So my brothers and sisters, allow people to belong and they will believe. And finally they will become. That is not what I want to preach today. That was just a thought. Anyway. All right. Today I want to talk briefly in the book of John, chapter 4. I want to talk about it. You'll read it, but there's just something I want to point out there in John chapter 4. This is not, you know, the theological thing. You know, this is, I just want to drop an idea that as a, this story is about Jesus. And you read about it. I want to read verse 7 only. And then I will talk about the story. The Bible says in John chapter 4 verse 7, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you this day. I want to bless you for your goodness and allowing us to share your word. I pray that as I share your word this day, Lord, you will help my tongue. Give me the utterance. And Lord, speak to somebody today like you spoke to me. I want to pray that this word will bless somebody tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I will start by Isaiah 45, which will help you to relate to what I want to talk about. In the book of Isaiah 45, the Bible talks of a king called Cyrus. And the Bible says, to my anointed Cyrus, I will hold your right hand. I will lead you. And you will break kingdoms. And I will give you, this one I want you to hear it very well, that I will lead you and give you riches stored in secret places. Treasures of darkness that you may know me. When I read that thing, I struggled with it. What made me struggle is riches stored in secret places, in darkness. Darkness. I said, God, You want to give us things in darkness. You know, to us Africa, darkness is something that terrifies. If you have anything that you can't prove to somebody where you got them, you have to explain. Because darkness is associated with the lack of light. Darkness is something that is evil. If you say, if God says, I will give you treasures of darkness, that is what it says in the Bible. You check it after you leave here. Treasures of darkness. And I ask God, this is like people, we talk about devil worshippers who go under the lake and go under the sea. They get things, we call it, from darkness. And then the Lord opened my eyes and he told me, what is talking about here? Darkness means something that has got no light, that you can't figure out. So God told me, I will do things in your life that you can't figure them out. There's no connection. Somebody will ask you, like, how did you come to where you are? And you are dark about it. You don't know how to explain it. Because God said, I will go before you and I will do it. I will open these doors for you. So there are some things that God will do for you that you don't know how to explain to people. It is darkness. It is like, how my family was a very poor family in Africa. That to tell me I could go to Oxford and study, we would sell all our land and sell our village, and who would buy it anyway? We were so poor that for me to stand and go to Bible school, a very rich, I was learning with some of the great kids of rich people from all over the world. Some guys were stinking rich. They are very rich that they are rich. Chelsea, they used to have American Marine, you know, as we go for lectures, these guys with all the Secret Service, yeah, whoever they are, you know, like. And here I am, also in the same school, walking, thinking, why, goodness, Jesus. Some people are protected. Edward is here. I didn't pay no school fee. I couldn't even figure out how it happened. It was like darkness, something that, Edward, how are you in? Sometimes I used to talk in our vernacular in the school, like, nobody understands me. So I would talk like, this is powerful. And everybody would ask me, Edward, what does it mean? I say, you people, you guys don't have no idea. You don't have idea what you are dealing with. So God led me to things I couldn't explain. So today I want to share with you that there are things God will do for you that it will be darkness to people. Because he is the light. Darkness is the absence of light. So which means God will do for you something that you can't explain. It is dark. It doesn't make any sense. You don't know how it is done because it is God. Hallelujah. Amen. The song we sang here was, you know, like, I will lead you. I will go before you. I want to tell you, my brothers, tonight I want to share with you about our God, the Lord that we serve. And the title of my message is The Gap Filler, Jesus, who fills the gap between you and what he wants you to do and who you are here. Cyrus was a heathen king and is somebody who even conquered Babylon. Cyrus was a Median. He didn't even belong to the Jews. And God called him my anointed. He's still a sinner, but God calls him my anointed Cyrus. And God gives him what he doesn't deserve. I want to talk to you tonight about our God, the one we serve. His name is Jesus. Amen. I want to talk to you briefly about Jesus and this Samaritan woman. Because the Samaritan woman, those of you who do the theological studies, and you know the Samaritans were rejects. A Samaritan was somebody who was counted nobody. A Jew could not meet with a Samaritan. And if a Jew left their house, they were going to the grocery and they meet a Samaritan, you had to go back because that day is not going to be good for you. You have met. So now Jesus goes to a woman who is a Samaritan. Jesus, a real Jew.
If you read the story very well, you will even see when the disciples came back and they found Jesus talking to this woman, first of all, she's a woman. The Jews didn't count women. They were not counted. That is why you see that Adam gave birth to this and this, and his son went and married that. Who did it marry? He married a woman. But who? Why are they not there in the Bible? So a woman, a Samaritan, two bad things. To be a Samaritan and then to be a woman. And Jesus, who Peter and John are seeing as the Savior, he doesn't even study history. He doesn't know this lady is a Samaritan. How comes Jesus? This is darkness. There's no light here. He's teaching us he's the Messiah and he's doing the opposite. So tonight, I want to talk to you about Jesus, the gap filler who will stand between you and whatever you think is impossible. And you will see how he fills that gap. Somebody say amen. All right. Yeah, thank you, thank you. I came with some amen from Africa, all right? All right, okay. So now, here comes the story of Jesus and the woman of Samaria. If you read the Bible very well, the Bible says, and Jesus departed from Judea to Galilee. Galilee is where John was killed. That is where John stopped his ministry. And the Bible says, and he had to go through Samaria. Judea was on top, Galilee down. So Jesus had to go through to reach one end. One end is here, another end is here. In Judea, in Galilee, they have killed John, they have cut his neck. And Jesus wants to go where John, his neck is gone. So I think Jesus must be crazy, you know. I would think, man, why go to Galilee? Don't you know there are other places you can go and preach? Man, go to Galilee? You want to end like John, and you are our Messiah? I would have fought him. If I was Peter, I would have taken Jesus back in the back room and tell him, man, if this is what you are leading us to, you better tell me to go home early. I don't want a mess. Oh, hallelujah. But thank God Jesus turned our message into a message. Praise be to God. So Jesus goes through Samaria with the disciples. The disciples, and then they had to go. I want you to watch that word, had to. He had to. I want to talk to you about some things that you fear. You see there's no connection. But if you're with Jesus, you will have to. You better just prepare. You will have to go through it. You know what? Because you are going through it. You are not going to be stuck in it. The good thing, Jesus had to go through. So it means he will not be stuck in it. So I want you to know, whatever I'm going to talk today, which God wants you to do, whether it is too big, whether it contradicts anything that you believe, because it is him, you will go through it. You will come out of it. That trouble, that thing which chokes life out of you, that monster, Jesus will let you go through it and you will be over. Amen? So now, Jesus tells them, we have to go through Samaria. That is, it contradicts the faith of Peter, all his disciples. And then, when he goes to Samaria, when they reach Galilee, Samaria at the well of called Synchrea, which Jacob had given to his son. Jesus sat in the well. The well is here. And Jesus sent the disciples away. Hallelujah. And to me, it would look something like tricky. Why do you send the disciples away and you remain talking to a lady? A woman where you will read her story. This is a woman who had been married to every Dick, John, and Harry. And, oh boy. You look at this woman itself, you know this is a big stuff. And Jesus sent the disciples away. So let me stop there and tell you something. There are some things that God will tell you to do that you will have to leave others, like Abraham. The Bible says on the third day, when he saw the place where God had called him, he left his servants with the donkey and they walk alone with his son. There are some places when you see your stage, which God has set for you, there are some people that you will leave because they can't go with you there. Otherwise, they will contradict everything you're doing. You will be lonely. Oh, yes. This is very quiet now. Okay. There you are. You will be lonely. I went to Uganda. When we went to Uganda, my wife had to go back to Kenya because our kids got sick. She said, Edward, this is not the call of God. And it was messy. So Jesus told the disciples, please go buy food. Get something. Let us get something to eat. And Jesus meets this lady. And Jesus sits on the well. Be not on, but the well is here. Jesus sits by the well. Now, I want to tell you something. What I was thinking about this. If Jesus talks to you, he's the CEO. He's the boss. Whether your life is dark, so long as Jesus sits by your life, a well will bring water. You will have water from the well because Jesus sits at the well. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
No matter what you're dealing with right now, I want to tell you something good will come out of it. Why? Jesus is seated by the well. I like sometimes when I go back home, you know, the first thing the kids would tell me, Daddy, you are back, and everybody, and then they tell me, after the noise, they tell me, sit down. So when they tell me sit down, stories are going to begin now. That is when it starts. So when Jesus will finally sit down, it means he takes his place of authority. And everything now will listen to Jesus. So he sat by the well. Water was very deep. He begins a conversation with this guy, this woman. And what he tells this woman, a woman who has been a failure, Jesus tells her, give me something to drink. You know, in Africa, like the way I talk to my wife, Jacinta, when I wanted, you don't start from the what you really want. You don't tell her, I want to marry you. No, you just start like, hey, I like your dress. You know what? So you start from far. So Jesus actually was like, you know, he's a cute girl, you know. So I told Jacinta, hey, I like the long dresses. You know, these days, girls put the short one, but I like this your long dress. And Jacinta started saying, yeah, that is good. Praise be to God. And then, you look like somebody I saw in town. Is it you? And Jacinta said, not really me. Then we start from there. And then, right now, we have kids, okay? But it started. That is how it started. Okay. So Jesus tells this lady, give me a drink. This girl, this woman thought, this is the most dangerous thing I'm getting into. I'm alone here. Other women know every man I get, I rob. So what if they see me with a man? What if those his disciples comes and finds us? Have you been told what to do, what contradicts you? God tells you what you know cannot work. This is crazy business. What is this? What has this to do with me? So the woman tells Jesus, how can you tell me to give you a drink? And she starts. The Jews and the Samaritans don't have any dealings. So I want to tell you why Jesus came. The first thing that brought Jesus wanted to bridge the gap between us and the things that we can't deal with. How many of you have things that you can just nod your head? You don't have to lift your hand, you know. How many of you have something that is too deep? It is a well. It has got good things. You can see there's a good thing here, but it's too deep. You know, it is deep, deep. You can't mess with it. You are living in a house where somebody has been heartbroken. If you smile, they think You are joking with them. If you try to be nice, they think you are faking it. It is a big, heavy duty thing. But Jesus is telling you, I want to get something good from this situation. And it is you, Jesus is telling, give me a drink. You know what the woman told her? The lady said, sir, the Jews don't have a dealing with us. So which means what you want me to do, there is no connection. I didn't go to school. How can you tell me I'm a preacher? How can you say you will use me, God? Look at this. This is clear. I don't know any memory verse in the Bible. Jesus says, living water will come from you. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, no matter what situation you are dealing with today, maybe it is your son, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your brother, something that you don't know which word to use, I have come to tell you that Jesus is going to bridge that gap today. He will draw water from that situation. Jesus will bring something out of that mess. Jesus connects. That dealing with the Jews, only one could do it, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What happens here? The woman tells Jesus the next thing, that there's no dealing. You don't have business here. This is done. This is finished. And Jesus tells her, if you know who you are talking to. One of the things that amazes me is how much we talk about Jesus and we really don't know him. We celebrate something that we really don't know. Because even in some things that only Jesus can bring life out, we struggle to bring life by ourselves. I was telling some of the people here that the reason why you guys think you don't see a lot of miracles here in the West is because you have options. An option. If this doesn't work, we have this. But us in Africa, you don't have this. Only Jesus can do it. So if you either go, you either still continue or you turn to Jesus. We don't have social medical insurance. We don't have that. You either get born again or you die. Yeah. Yeah. You either run to Jesus or you die. We don't have things like, oh, the government will look at. No way. Actually, we have so many people walking on foot, more than the cars I see you drive here. Since I started walking here, I don't even see people. Since I started being here for 1 month, I don't see people walking as people walk more than cars. So if God does not help you, you are on the wrong side of history. So this lady saw that there's no dealing. And Jesus says to her, get me water to drink. Jesus told her, if you could know who is talking to you today, hallelujah, then Jesus said to her, you will ask me water and I will give you living water and you will not be able to come here again. I tell you something, when Jesus does something, it is permanent. Even if Jesus says, I've given you that house, whether you don't have money to buy it, you already have it. It is permanent. God will make people. I have seen God use people from Australia, from Russia, from America. People I've never met. And God told me, you will live in houses you never built. You will eat vine you never planted. I am living in Uganda, driving Uganda car, living in the house. Oh, God is amazing. He is the gap filler. How can a Kenyan live in Uganda, own properties, have cows, have goats, 248 kids to feed every day? Is it amazing? They eat every day. 200. And some people struggle with only two or one. Now the thing is, it's not that I have. It is because I have a gap filler. What I can't do, what I don't have connection with, he connects with it. Praise be to God. So Jesus tells us, if you really knew me, you would ask for living water. Now, the story. So I want to talk about this thing in 5 minutes. 5 more minutes. Now, listen. The story says, and this woman, because she heard that Jesus has something which can make her not to come to the back to the well again, she decides for what I call violating the process for you to progress. Many people want to violate the process, yet they think they can progress. She says to Jesus, give me that water so that I don't come back to the well again. They want quick fix. In England, we have some, we go to the petrol stations and we call them quick fix. So if you have your car, you don't want to pull your tire, you run there and they fix it for you quickly. So we call it quick fix. I love how you cook. I love the way you cook, and I love that you have takeaways. But recently I visited a friend of mine, and we were there with him and his wife, and she was trying to look at the recipe, check them in her phone. She wanted to cook something, and I don't know, they are in the YouTube or I don't know. So she was checking it, and then I asked her, so your mother didn't teach you how to cook? And she said, no, she taught me. I said, I don't want to hurt you, but I just asked you. You read and then you cook. This is how you do it. They said, yes. And then I realized, because we have so many takeaways, so the takeaways replaced. So if you don't want to cook, you can run quickly to a takeaway and get it quickly. So the lady said to Jesus, give me that water so I don't come here again. I'm not talking to you that Jesus, as a gap filler, he will just fix it for you and you don't do nothing. He will use you. This woman, Jesus used her to go to the village, the same town, the same city that she had robbed other women, their husbands. She went and told them, come and see a man who told me everything about myself. How could this woman convince the city, yet she was a prostitute in the city? Because Jesus filled the gap. Hallelujah. So now this woman brings the whole town to Christ. Jesus draws water. So maybe you are here today. There's a situation that you see like everything you have tried about it. I want to advise you today, as I finish with these four monsters that make us not to see who Jesus really is, I want to ask you, invite Jesus, make him the CEO to sit with you. Let him be the board, the chairman of the board. And work it out. He will work that marriage, or he will fix it. You know, even those things that you say, I will never talk to so and so. If you let Jesus come in, boy, you will talk to so and so. You will love them and you will hug them. Big hug, big one. Yes, yes. Oh yes, oh yes. He will do it. I really didn't like Uganda. I was robbed in Uganda. And the only place that I didn't like in this world was to Uganda. I sat in the plane. I had a stopover in Uganda, in Tebe, for 2 hours, and I sat in the plane. I didn't want to step in Uganda because they robbed me in Uganda. And I said, I would never go back to Uganda. And election violence in Kenya, and I was forced to go to Uganda. And when I reached the border, God told me, I tricked you. He said, you will not come here, you are back, boy. And this time, you are not leaving. I'm stuck up to today. All right. So the thing is, people have issues. One of them, these things that makes you too deep. There are some people that have been hurt. People have hurt you that when you think about it, these are the monsters that fight our lives every day. One of the first monster is brokenness. The reason why this woman felt that she had no dealing with Jesus was her past. She was broken. She was hurt. This lady, imagine all these men walk away from you. And you know, when one man leaves a lady, so you get the second one, you want to love them and smile with them and let them see the last teeth in your mouth because you want to make them happy. You give them the best. and they break your heart again. And so you think by giving more best, more trying, so this time if I find Mr. Edward, I will hold his hand, I will talk to him, I will kiss him, I will do. And you do it. And he turns and says, I really didn't like that. I think we have to give one another some time. Your heart is broken again. So this woman, Jesus meets and says, even the one you have right now is not yours. So I want to tell you, even the problem you are struggling with now and the plan you want to apply to what you are suffering with is not yours. It is not going to work. You better stop it. You have tried them. They don't work. There's a gap filler who can help you and it begins to work. Jesus told her, even what you have today, even the husband you have, that thing which you have, that education which you have, you think, if I have this, I will go and fix the world. It won't work. Even the one who taught you that thing, it was also taught, and it didn't work those days. That is why he's telling you to do it now, because it didn't work. One of the theologians told us, all the things I want to teach you here, we have also tried them. So I just want to pray for you that take yourself into the field and see what works. Because some of them did not work. That is why we changed the program. Then Jesus told me, it is me who works. So look, the first monster, I think all of you know what a monster is. A monster is something that is terrifying. It's a big, ugly thing like a dinosaur. Like something which has got. Oh boy, in Africa we have all kinds of animals. I don't think I really fear all these animals except a leopard. But the thing I fear is a dinosaur. Please, I don't know if the dinosaurs are real or they are just fiction. I don't care what they are, but I tell you, if a dinosaur will come to Africa, I will migrate. He is a monster. I fear that baby. A monster instills fear. A monster stresses people. It is antisocial. A monster is something that can squeeze life out of you. Like, you see, some of these people. A monster is something that is extreme. It's like if somebody can play music like this rock star, and they say, that's a monster, boy. That's a monster. It's something that goes to the extreme, that makes you quit, takes life out of you. To be a Samaritan, this lady have all the broken marriages. Many of us have broken lives, broken relationships. You have been broken in life. And when you think of yourself, when Jesus says, give me water, do something for me to bless other people, you look at yourself and you say, hey, me. They have hurt Jesus. Are you crazy? Look for other people, not me, Lord. Surely, brokenness can be a monster. It can make you think like you are not good. You are not worth anything. You've been married to all these guys. You didn't even make a good wife. You went to all the school. You had all the opportunities. That's a monster that breaks people who have been broken, people who hurt. If they are hurting, they will hurt you because all they know how to do is to hurt because they have been hurt. Brokenness, our past. The reason why some of us can't be used by God is because we are stuck with our past. We are using our past to determine our future. I used to do very bad in mathematics when I was in the first grade. So what I did, one day I said to myself, I am going to stop getting excess in math. So I went, after the school was closed, I bought a new book. I worked very hard and I bought my new book. I went home, I took the old book, I said to my mom, this one you bought for me. I said, I don't want this book today. I want to throw it away because I've got a new book. And I said to myself, all the excess, all the wrong answer with the old book. I have bought myself a new book and I told my new book, from today, Everything must be taken. Everything must be taken. So I detached my past from my future. Many of us, we carry what was 2 years ago and we bring it into our new year. We make all the resolutions, but we don't make a revolution. This one didn't work. Okay, but this one I can come with. A new year is a new year. Jesus will draw new life from what you don't see. The second monster is the monster of fear. Why did this woman go to the well alone? And why did Jesus have to send others to go away before Jesus talks to her? This woman feared to go to the well with other women because she was always seen as somebody rejected. How can you go with other women when all you do is to rob their husbands? You can't go to the well with them. Nothing good. You don't have anything good to come from you. Praise be to God. Fear. Some of us don't fail because what we are doing is hard. We fail because we are fearful. They told us in the Bible school, okay, you pray for the sick and they will be healed. And there were sick people every time. And we never prayed for them because we just know that the Bible said and nobody tried because we were fearful. If I pray for them and they don't get healed, they will say, oh, you are not anointed. Jesus said you will lay your hands on them and they will be healed. And Jesus said, by your faith you are healed. So it's not my problem. If I lay my hands on you according to what Jesus tells me, if you get healed, good. If you don't, it's your problem. What did Elisha do to the lady who had run out of oil? He said, go borrow vessels. Don't borrow a few, bring many. And the many she brought were filled. So the anointing in the man of God must have vessels in your life where to pour it. So the more you receive from me is according to how you want to receive. Praise be to God. The spirit of fear. Fear is a monster that screams to every one of us in the world. How dare you think you can do it? Where do you come from? Who are you? Who knows you? So some people fail because of fear. And some people fail because of despair. You have worked. You have tried it. You have failed. You give up. But you don't want Jesus to fix it for you. Kids play with the toys. They spoil them. Like my son, James. But immediately you try to fix the toy, they pick it out of your hand. They want to run with it quickly and they spoil it again. So many people are destroyed by the spirit of despair. Nobody knows me. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. What I have, oh, I don't even look like them. I have to do this. I have to make this. I have to change my hairstyle. I'm too old. Jesus can draw living water from that deep well. Yes. You say, what are you going to use to draw this water? He will figure it out. He has it. He's not going to use what you always use because what you use made you fail. The last monster, the fourth one, is the monster of unforgiveness. This is what I want to close with, my brothers and sisters. I want to tell you something. Unforgiveness, to me, is the biggest monster in life. People fear to forgive because it doesn't look good. It doesn't seem right. He has offended me. He must take the responsibility. Oh, I was hurt. Now, let me tell you. You know what you're doing to yourself? You are robbing yourself of your future. Because whoever you don't forgive, it doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. The poison is in you, not in them. Whether you hate them, they are walking on the road and you don't want to wave at them. They are driving, maybe they are going for a barbecue. They don't even remember they hurt you. And so the more you don't forgive, the more you put the poison in you. It makes you not to sleep, not them. Actually, I don't forgive people because I want. I forgive them because of me. I don't want them to rob me of my joy. I say, oh boy, you think you can put, I can think about you in the night. You are in my mind. No way. I can't go with you to school. I go with you in church. I sing in the choir with you. Hey, get off my life. Oh no, boy. Whether you hurt me big time, I will drop you down. I will forgive even if you don't ask me to. Why? If I have to sing here, that heaven is my home, and I think of the day Jacinta told me, you know nothing. My own wife, she told me, shut up. You don't know it. You men, shut. And I looked at her and I. And she said, shut. I said, Jacinta, who is the man here? I said, shut up, Edward. You don't really know me. Until I said, surely this lady can kill me. Then we go into a service. That thing is running in my mind. How on earth can Jacinta tell me I don't know her? How can she tell me to shut up? I have a message. I want to preach in a church. But Jacinta's word in the house is walking with me. I'm driving the car with it. So the border starts, beep, 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 beep. And I get hungry at the border because of what Jacinta put in me. Then when I reach the church, the Lord told me, if you don't forgive, even the message you are going to preach here is useless. You are hurting, so you can't heal others. And I just, Jacinta, they were singing there. And I tell you something, she had even forgotten that I was hurt. She didn't even know. She thought that is marriage stuff. Edward, you don't have to bring that in there. I went to her and I told her, Jacinta, I'm sorry. You upset me. I was annoyed. He said, what? The way you talk with me. Oh, Edward, you mean that? How do you take offense on little things like that? So who was missing out? Was it Jacinta or Edward? It was me. I was missing the joy that I should have been having. She didn't even know. So many of us are stuck with the people in our lives. That's why you can't breathe. You have heart attack because you are carrying somebody who is 60 pounds in your heart and another one 20 pounds in your... This is what the woman, the reason why she couldn't see Jesus, she had unforgiveness. She didn't forgive herself and she didn't forgive God. Now somebody will say, how do you forgive God? You know, sometimes we say, where was God when my child was dying? Where was God when the bank, my credit ran out? Why couldn't he control me? So one day I went and I was praying and I told God, God, I'm sorry, I want to forgive you. Because yesterday when we were in the ICOM, I found a lady doing mission work in our own village in Kenya. Sometimes I get hurt that I'm serving people in Uganda and I'm not serving my people. Have you been to that? You know, let's be real. You are serving God, but you are seeing like, you know, this is not a good deal. I'm giving too much, you're giving too less, God. Here, look at it right. I'm serving you in Uganda. These are not my children. 240 crying to me every day. When in our village, even 20 children, you don't help. God, is this a good deal? And I don't talk to people. Those are prayers I pray in the shower. When I'm in the shower, I put it. There are some prayers you don't pray where people are. So I was hurt with God. I told him, this is not a good deal. Then I met this lady preaching in our place,
doing what I'm not doing when I'm doing it in Uganda. When I saw her with the names of children in our village, God put his eyes on my face and said, "You see it, boy?" And I told him, "Lord, I forgive you. I'm wrong. I thought I was doing too much for you and you're doing too less for me. Lord, I forgive you. Forgive me. I thought that if things don't work through me, then they are not working. God is busy doing it with other people." Today, I want to ask you, every one of us, if there's any of this monster, the monster of fear, the monster of your past, this monster of unforgiveness makes you have two baggages. One is a baggage of an angel of holiness. You think, how can somebody do that? How on earth would they do that? How? So you think you can't do it. You think it is crazy. You are doing another one. Okay. How on earth? I don't even think Christians should do that to one another. I don't. If that is how it is, oh boy. They will hurt you. They will do bad things to you. Jesus said, this is a package in the package. And when you make cake, you don't only use things you like. You use salt. You use all the ingredients. You can't eat one of them alone. But when you stir them together, and you put heat at the bottom and heat on the top, it comes to the beautiful cake. So that is what God does. He stirs up the good, the crazy one, and he does. And so many people think like, "Brother, I didn't really believe you could hurt me. I really didn't believe it could happen like this. I didn't believe it." And then the other baggage is, you are walking with your past, the dirty trash of you. "I am a Samaritan." I don't think anybody. I smell. And then you go with a bag trash of your past. You hug people, but you're hugging them with your past. If we really want to go to heaven, let's take these four monsters to God. Today, take fear. He knows how he can reach that big thing that your brother or sister lost in drugs, in war. Jesus knows how to reach them. And in them, there's a well. In that situation, God has something. Can we all rise up? If we can, please. Only those who can. If you are. Oh, I preach too much because this is my home church. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. To be honest with you, I'm sorry for talking too long. But this is my home church. You know, when a child is in their home, sometimes they forget about time. So please forgive me for today. So what I want to say, where you are, maybe this is not what we do in our church, but please, I just want you to accept the varieties of how God does things. We are not the same. Our terms are not the same. God is so unique. So this is one of the ingredients of life that I want you to accept today. He wants to make it happen. Get something good out of your life. I want you today, where you are, before we invite you to come here, we pray with you, but you as yourself, because God wants you. I'm only going to join myself with you as the woman brought the empty vessels to Elisha, what she was able to get from her neighbors. I want you today to talk to yourself about fear. And I want you to tell the devil that it is God who will hold my hand. He's the one who will go before me. He's the one who is going to break those strong things. So fear, leave me. I'm a child of God. That my child will not die in sin, God will save them. It doesn't matter how deep that well is. It doesn't matter how deep they have gone into drugs and everything. God, his hand can reach there. And I want you to talk to your brokenness, who you are. I want you to forget about who you are and know you are a child of God. You are a child of a mighty God.
He doesn't like you because of how you look. He likes you because you are his. Full stop. Black, white, tall, red, pink, yellow. You are a child of God. So don't care where you come from the back seat to the front seat, whether you are home, is in the forest. You are a child of God, and he has put you there. I want you to forget about your past. All the people, all the things you failed in, God doesn't care about them. You are his. And that is why he sent me from Africa to talk to you today as his child. Fear must go. Brokenness, despair, and shame. I'm ashamed of who I am. I'm ashamed I didn't go to the right school. I am ashamed I don't drive the right car. That is testing. God is teaching you to drive that rotten car because he has a beautiful car. So first of all, use this as a resource, a rehearsal. Learn with this, knock it, because the big car, God has it. Oh, hallelujah. And then forgive, and you shall be forgiven. If there's somebody who has hurt you, who has broken your heart, I tell you, don't you allow them to enjoy. Don't give them a free ride. Carry them in your heart. You go to the grocery, you carry them, they just live in you. You go to the bedroom with them, you go to your shower. Oh boy, I hate that. I hate to walk with them. Oh Lord, forgive me. Jesus said on the cross, forgive them. Even though they didn't repent, Jesus said, forgive them. So if you are there, please, I want you to talk to God. Just 1 second. No, 1 minute. 1 minute is enough. Talk to God about any of these. If yours is fear, or if you don't have them, talk to God on our behalf. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to praise you, Lord. I come before you, Father God. I fight with fear every day, Lord, in my life. Even when you tell me you are with me, Lord. Even when you tell me you are the one to make the crooked path straight, I still struggle with it, Lord. And there are people like me here today, Father God, just struggling, just fighting this monster, which constantly reminds them, oh, it is too far for you. It is a big thing. That is a big idea. You can't do it. You can't fund that. You can't finance. You can't buy that thing. Oh, God, I pray that today in the name of Jesus, somebody will just rise up and refuse that devil, that speaks, that monster, that terrifies us, that makes us to break, that unforgiveness, that makes us to shed tears, to see somebody, and we turn on the other road, Lord. We miss our sleep. We miss our night. Oh God, I pray today that you will break these powers. I pray that in the name of Jesus, something which we can't do, Lord, you will be the gap filler. Fill it, Lord. Connect us with it like a bridge, oh God. A bridge in a highway, Lord. Just become our bridge today. From what we see very far, deep, something that no doctor can figure it out. God, you can figure it out. You can bring life out of that place in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. So everybody, if somebody wants us to pray together with them, maybe the choir, as you sing beautifully something, as we worship the Lord, just a little while. If somebody feel you want to come and we pray together with you and Pastor John, you also come. And the choir, as you just give us something beautiful, we go before the presence of God as we still worship the Lord. There's an issue in your life that you want us to be connected together with you. You are saying, God, I can't do this by myself. But Lord, with you, it can be done. And you want us to pray together with you. You can come over here and we shall pray together. Oh, Shabala, Boshakalaba. Oh, if you're there, you fail. You can't handle it alone. You need somebody to help you handle it. You just come. If you fail, you want to. And you just in this mood, Pastor John, if you just join us up together and we pray together with the people.